chapter number 6, before I forget, there's going to be a men of the church are singing next week. So if any man sing next week, come after church this morning, and we'll pick out a song. Everybody got that? Good. Got it? Good. All right, so we're in Matthew chapter number 6. Before we start, obviously, gotta have this joke. And I found a pretty good one today. I have three. The one is, I'm going to save the best for last. Okay? This one I find funny. My grandfather has the heart of a lion and a lifetime ban at the zoo. I was going to tell a yoga joke, but don't stretch. Okay, this one's a little bit of a longer one, but it worked with me. A woman gets on a bus with her baby. The bus driver says, "Oh, that's got to be the ugliest baby I've ever seen." The woman walks away to the rear of the bus and sits down. Fuming, she says to the man next to her, "The driver just insulted me." The man says, "You got to go up there and tell him. Go on, I'll hold your lunch for you." Oh, boy. All right, so we're in Matthew chapter number 6. Verse number 25. If you're in Sunday school this morning, you'll know my whole entire message. So, for those of you that were there, just gotta struggle through it this morning. But I've been enjoying studying the book of Matthew with you guys. I think it's a really good way to study the Bible chapter by chapter with people who are actually studying it with you. As Graham was saying, I feel like we just get a lot more from it. So whenever we discuss it, everybody knows at least a verse. If you mention a verse, they're like, "Oh, I just read that." Like, okay, I know what's happening. I know where the context of the verse is. So I think that's just a great idea. So did anybody read it this morning? People did? Okay, good. Then do you know what chapter 6, verse 25 is talking about, Todd? No, that's fine. It's talking about worry. Okay? We're going to be talking about worry and anxiety this morning. Okay? So we'll read it, and then we'll pray, and then we'll get right into it. It says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to your stature? And why take ye thought for your raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink? For wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought of the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Let's pray. Dear Lord, just thank you so much that we're able to meet this morning. I pray now for the message. Speak to us, just use me as a vessel. I pray that you just help us to get something from your word this morning. I pray for all these things in your name. Amen. Alright, so who here doesn't worry at all? Anybody here not worry one single day? Okay, I worry a lot. Now, why do we worry? Why do we worry? Lack of faith, yep. Because we can't control what we're worrying about, can we? At least I do. Okay, us as humans, we don't know what's going to happen to us. We also can't control what happens to us. Okay, we're not omnipresent. No, we're not omniscient. I want to say omniscience, pastor. Okay, we're not omniscient. Okay, which is all knowing, and we're not omnipotent. Thank you. Okay, we're not either of those things. We have no clue what's happening tomorrow, and we have no clue how it's going to happen, and we can't control it. Okay, so I think that is why I'm always worried, because I want to be in control of things. I'm kind of a controlling person. half of my life. Okay? I want to be in control. Whenever I drive to work, I worry stuff. I worry. I worry about driving to work. Don't ask my mom. Because I drive crazy going to work. But I do worry about it. Driving to work and a deer runs out and I hit it, right? Going way faster than I should. Okay? I worry about work whenever I'm at work, and I work with a lot of heavy metal. Okay, a metal that could easily fall on top of me and be gone in a second. Okay, that wears on my mind, doesn't it? Okay, I also worry about raising my family. I think if I were to die, how would my family be taken care of? Okay, I find this out to be true, that whenever Joelle leaves, she's a lot better off than whenever. When she leaves, I'm horrible. I'm like a wreck. I can't hardly be by myself. Like I said, whenever she left, I thought I was doing a good job by like taking care of the house, cleaning and doing dishes. She got home and was just so disappointed. But whenever I'm gone for a whole day and I get back, she's like, oh yeah, we had a good day. I'm like, okay, so you want to worry about me? Okay, so if I were to die, she'd probably be okay. I don't have to worry about that too much. Okay, but I worry about raising my son. That's a pretty big worry for a lot of us, especially my son. He looks cute from the outside, but inside he's a brat, I tell you. And then I have another one on the way. That's a big worry for me, trying to afford this kid, trying to raise it better than the last one. Okay? That's why I'm so good, because my parents are back to my brother. Alright? But I worry about, this is probably one of the things that I worry about the most, is when and how God is going to use me. Okay, that should be a worry, I think, in all of our lives. How is God going to use me? Because right now, I'm just here helping out at my church. I'm with my pastor. I have no clue where God's going to take me in the next 5 years. That's a big struggle for me. Because I'm a creature of habit. Okay, I like all of my events to happen in order, how they happen. I get up at the same time every day. I leave work. I just like everything in order. So not knowing where I'm going to be in the next 5 years kind of scares me. It kind of worries me, okay? Now these verses, of course, are talking about where she eats, drink, okay? Physical things. But I'm more hitting on the worrying about that stuff this morning. Okay, so that is what I worry about. Now, what are the effects of worry? There are some physical effects of worry. Anybody ever, whenever they're worried, or someone starts to get upset? I had a lot of that this past couple of days because I knew that I was going to be preaching, okay? And for some odd reason, my neck gets a little stiff. Anybody have muscle soreness when they're worried or anything? All right, they have stomach problems, their headaches, get a lot of headaches and stuff from being worried, all right? For some odd reason, your brain, whenever it's worried, just sends signals out. Like, just send signals everywhere and just make everything hurt. You're worried. I don't know why God made it that way, but anyways. So those are some of the physical effects. But also, whenever you're worried, doesn't worry kind of consume your thoughts? Whenever you're working throughout the day or something, and you're worried about something about tomorrow, doesn't that kind of just consume you a little bit? It really, like, destroys your productivity for the day if you let it consume you too much. Because all you're focused on is, man, I have a problem. I don't know how I'm going to fix it. I don't know how I'm going to resolve it. And that can just control your whole mindset, okay? And it affects the way you treat people, it affects the way you work. It just affects a lot of things if you let it consume you, okay? But most importantly, and I think James said it, that worrying is a lack of faith, right? It's a lack of trusting in God, okay? Now, I want you to think about this. Is not trusting God, is that a sin? Yes, but you say not trusting God is a sin. So whenever we're worrying about something we can't control, is that a sin? I would say yes. Okay? Now Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. See, no, that's pretty, we need to trust God, right? Whenever we don't, we're sinning. Now I want to read in verse number 31 and 32. It says, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall you eat or what shall you drink? Or wherewithal shall you be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Okay, so the things, like, of that matter, it says, the Gentiles worry about that stuff. they have to worry about what they're going to eat, what they're going to drink, and what they are going to wear. Okay? But we as children of God, why don't we have to worry about this? God provides. Very good. God provides for us because we are His children. Okay? We have a Heavenly Father who knows our needs. I think it says that in the rest of the verse. Your Heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. Okay, we are under the protection of God. So right there, okay, that should kind of cure your worries, shouldn't it? We're under the protection of God. But, okay. Now, I told you why we worry. I told you the effects of worry. Now I'm going to tell you the solution for worry. The solution for worry. First, we need to recognize the power of prayer. We need to recognize the power or importance of prayer. It says, seek the kingdom of God. Seek the first kingdom of God. What I got from that is, we should be seeking God before we do anything else. Okay, before we do anything else, and we're worried about something, it's easy to go to your neighbor or to your spouse, be like, man, I'm so worried, and try to put the burden on them, right? Or try to get them involved in the burden with you, so they can worry too. Okay, it's super easy to do that, but what we should be doing is, we should be going to God and giving the burden over to God. Okay, turn over to Psalms chapter 13 real quick. Psalms chapter 13. I want to read an entire psalm. Psalms chapter number 13. This is a psalm that David wrote. It's actually a prayer. It's a prayer of David. Verse number 1, it says, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemies be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against it, and those that trouble rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. So you read the very first part of that verse, or the chapter, and you're like, man, David's got a lot of problems going on right here, okay? He's like, Lord, you left me. Why? And how long are you going to leave me? Okay? So you see his attitude at the beginning is kind of desperate. Okay? He's desperate. He's worrying about a lot of stuff, I'm guessing. Okay, but then you see just four verses later, after he got done praying, it says, but I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. Seems like something just clicked, right whenever he gave it over to God, right? Once he gave it over to God, he was like, oh, kind of like what Bethany was saying. I remember all the good things that I have. I have trusted in the mercy, in thy mercy my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he has dealt bountifully. Whenever we focus on the worry, that's going to consume our life. But whenever we hand it over to God and we start seeing all the positive things that he's given us, man, those worries just don't seem very big, do they? Because we're focused on the good. That's what Bethany basically took over with. I'll forgive her. Okay? We see David's heart and attitude change in his prayer. In the beginning of his prayer, David felt as though God has forgotten. He immediately casts his burden on the Lord, allowed God to carry it for him. Okay, so his whole attitude changed completely from being discouraged to rejoicing. Now Matthew 11:28 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God literally tells us that if you're having a burden, give it to me. You know, I think we often forget about that. Like I said, we go to other people, we look for counsel, for people who, you know, don't need to bear that burden with us. We could just give it to God. God literally says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Prayer is a tool that God has left for us to overcome our worries and fear. Now, this is something that I think everybody knows, but we often underestimate the power of prayer and overestimate our power to fix it. Right? Okay? I'm especially like this. I tend to think I'm better than I actually am. Okay? I know. Who would have thought? Okay, I think most of us think that. I think I'm capable of doing a lot more than I'm actually capable. That's one of my downfalls. That's one of the arm wrestling. Jacob. Right? I think I can take them every single time. Up until our hands touch, I'm like, ah, I don't have this. Okay? But imagine if David would have tried to fix this problem by himself. Imagine if he just left God out of it. Okay? I'm sure that worry and struggles that he was facing would have consumed his mind. He just wouldn't have been able to deal with it. Okay, because I know that from experience, because I've forgotten God out of the whole situation, and I've tried to fix it myself. Does that ever work? No, it never works. Ever. Okay, had David not turned from God through prayer, or turned to God through prayer, probably would have consumed him. Okay, he had a lot to worry about. He had people chasing him. His son was trying to take over his kingdom. I don't envy David at all through all the things he went through. He's one of my favorite characters just because he wasn't perfect. I like that about David. Okay? But I put here that our bodies are not designed to carry the burden of this world, which is why we seek physical discussion. God desires to carry our burdens if we will only allow him to. So that is the importance of prayer. We can never forget how important prayer is, because that's the only way we can talk to God. I think I said this Wednesday, whenever Jesus would pray and talk to God, he was literally talking to his Father. Now that made me think, I was like, if the only way I could talk to my dad was through prayer, I would be praying a lot more. Right? I don't know about anybody else, but if the only way I could talk to my loved ones was through prayer, I'd be praying a lot more. But we disconnect that from, oh yeah, it's just God. It's just God that I'm talking to. I don't need to talk to him that much. What are we doing? You know, why aren't we talking to him more? And he literally wants us to talk to him to bring our needs and our burdens to him. We just forget. Or we just don't. So, we can't forget the importance of prayer. Secondly, we need to recognize the importance of the Word of God. You ever just been struggling with something and God just seems to give you exactly what you need at the exact moment you need it? Reading your Bible, that seems to happen to me a lot. Okay, the Bible is a very uplifting book, right? No matter what you're going through, there's a verse in there that'll help you through it. I think it is. You can disagree with me if you want. Turn over to Psalms 23. Who knows what Psalms 23 is? The Good Shepherd, yes. Very good. Again, David. I like David. Okay. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness, for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So this psalm is a great example of how the Bible can comfort us during our time of need, okay? I want to focus on verse number 4. I don't know if anybody else has done this before, but what is thy rod and thy staff? Whenever he says thy rod and thy staff, what do you think that means? Right, okay, so very good. So I want to make a correlation between the rod and thy staff and the Bible. Okay, so I looked up, I was like, well, I guess I can look up what the difference between a rod and a staff are. Okay, so they serve two different purposes. A rod is a club or a stick to defend against predators. Okay, and I was thinking, I was like, well, the Bible is our defense, our shield, right? I have the wrong verse to read, Doctor, so I won't read it. But it's our shield and defense against what the world brings at us. Okay, and then a rod serves for disciplining wayward sheep. Okay, and I was like, okay, the Bible, okay, it can be used for disciplinary reasons. Whenever you read it, like, there are definitely some discipline in the Bible. Okay, it says 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Alright, then thirdly, it is to assist in examining individuals in the herd of flock. Flock of sheep. Oh, okay. With the flock. Okay? okay? It's used to examine. They'll push them over, I'm sure, and count them and do whatever they want with them, okay? I was thinking, I was like, well, we use the Bible to examine ourselves, don't we? Right? We use the Bible to look at ourselves and see how horrible we are, I guess. Right? And then, I want to see what a staff serves. A staff is for rounding up sheep to a flock. I have a flock there. I don't know what a herd, flock. Okay? But I thought that we're all here this morning for what purpose? What are we here this morning? The Word of God, right? The Word of God brought us here because it's something that we can all agree on. It's a common ground that brings us all together. Okay, then secondly, it's for guiding sheep by applying pressure. Okay, God's Word gives us, or guides us, in the way that we should go. Psalms 119:105 says, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path." So God's Word will guide us through when we need it to. Right? And if we're smart, we'll let it guide us through our whole entire life. Okay, but I have one more. It is for extracting sheep from bad situations. It's for extracting sheep during bad situations. You guys ever see that? Bad situations. Okay? Have you ever seen that video of that guy pulling a sheep out of a hole? And he pulls them out and the sheep's hopping around and then he goes and jumps in another hole? And I'm like, and I think the little caption says, us, you know. He pulls us out and before he knows it, he gets up and he's like, where'd he come from? Let me go get him out of that one. Okay. But turn over to Matthew 18:11 real quick. Matthew 18:11. This says, verse number 11, "For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth unto the mountain, and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, if it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish." Okay, so kind of wanted to give a little gospel presentation here, but if you have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, obviously that is the most important thing you can ever do, right? And I'm sure everybody is worried where they're going to go when they die. Okay, that's the worry. That's why I got saved, actually, was because somebody preached on hell, and I was asked my dad, "What is hell?" And he explained it to me, and you know what happened inside of me? I did not want to go. And I started thinking, I was like, is that really true? You know? Is hell a real place? And it turned out, yeah, hell is a real place. So worry, okay? I was worried where I was going to spend eternity when I died. But if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't have to worry about it anymore. You know, that's one of the greatest feelings in the world, not worrying. Okay, we don't worry as other people worry. Kind of like just with the Gentiles. But they worry about different things. They worry where they're going to spend eternity. They don't even know where they're going. We don't have to worry because we have Jesus Christ as our Savior. We have the hope of heaven. Okay? So we recognize the power of prayer, and we recognize the power of God's Word. Thirdly, we need to recognize the power of God. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God." I think that's a pretty amazing verse. In the beginning, God. That's whenever all time started. There was no time before that, which I can't fathom. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens. Okay? He literally started time. God spoke everything into existence in just 6 days. If you think about how amazing that is. We were talking to somebody, I forget who we were talking to, somebody at work, I think. And we were telling them what we believe. And he's like, "You believe God came and spoke a bunch of words, and in 6 days the earth was here?" They're like, "Absolutely." He's like, no, I can't believe that. And I said, "What do you believe?" "Well, I think we were here way before God was here." And I was like, "Okay." Like, so how were we created? Okay? I don't know how you can believe that, but he believed it. But he literally took dirt from the ground and molded it into a man and then gave it life by breathing into it. I would say that's a pretty powerful God, wouldn't you? It says in Colossians 1, 16 through 17, it says, "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." Okay, so if we can believe that God created everything that we see here today, and created life and birds and everything, don't you think he can take care of us? Right? I think we forget how powerful our God is going through with struggles, temptations, and worry. Okay? Again, we think we can do it. But in all reality, we can't. And we feel abandoned because we forget how powerful our God is. Okay? And just along with that, we forget how much he cares for us. If we remembered how much the Lord and God cared for us, I think we'd be much better off. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you." And I wanted to read one of our verses again. Let's get back. Verse 26 says, "Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" I said this morning, I'm glad I'm better than a bird. Well, God says, "Aren't you better than birds?" I sure hope so. Okay? But then it also in Matthew 10, you don't have to turn that to me. Matthew 10, verse 29, it says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Hear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." Okay, and there again, I was like, does each one of us have a different sparrow worth? Am I worth 20 sparrows and you worth 30 sparrows? I don't know. And no, obviously not. God's just telling us there that we're better than sparrows. And if he sees a sparrow fall, okay, doesn't he see us? And the Bible says that he has our tears, or our hair counted, and he knows whenever we lose hair. And it also says that he keeps our tears in a bottle. It says that he sees us when we cry, and he keeps those tears from us. Why? I have no clue. I don't know what he's going to do with those, but it's just to show that he cares for us, and that he loves us. Okay? He cares for us more than we would care for our own children. I think I could love anything more than I love myself. And I would do anything for him, even just, I need to do a little bit more of that here lately. But, and Jesus does, or God does discipline us, okay? Because he loves us. Paul would always say, "I love you, not to hurt you." And I believed him. And he did a couple of times. Okay, but it was all for my greater good, I guess. I think. Alright? But God loves us with the perfect love. He has never been annoyed by us or withholding good gifts. Jesus literally came down and died for us on the cross because he cared for us. Okay, the Bible says, "Greater love hath no man than this, a man lay down his life for his friends." That's in John 15:3. There is no greater love that God could have shown us than by him coming and laying down his life for us. Okay, if we really knew how much he loved us, we wouldn't worry at all. Now, real quick, have you ever been around somebody that you love so much and every problem that you had just seemed to go away? You ever been with somebody? Mine is with my wife, obviously. Whenever I'm with my wife, my cares and problems just seem to go away. Aww. I know, but isn't it true, though? Whenever you're with somebody who you deeply love, you kind of forget about all the bad things that happen. That's the same way that it should be whenever we're with Jesus. We should forget all the trouble trials that we're going through, because he loves us so much and we know that he loves us. The reason I feel that way with my wife is because I know she loves me. I hope she loves me, okay? Maybe I shouldn't say that, okay? But no, I do know that she loves me. Whenever I'm with her, I feel comforted, because I know that whatever's going on in my life, she's going to help me. just as with Jesus, he already knows what I'm going through. He knows what I need. He's going to help me through it. Okay, and I just thought about that this morning, and I was like, man, why do we worry at all? If we're walking with God, we don't have anything to worry about. Then, we need to remember that all things work together for good. That's one of my favorite verses, I think. All things work together for good. Even if what we are worrying about does come true, okay, a lot of times that happens, we can pray and pray that God would take it from us. But if it does happen, okay, or sometimes it does happen, and we need to understand that it wasn't an accident. Okay? God was still in control, even through those hard times. There are a lot of examples of people going through hard times in the Bible, and you're like, why did that happen? Joseph, I think, whenever he was sold into slavery. David, when he was running from his son. I could just go on and on. Why would these bad things happen? And I was thinking this morning, and I was thinking, was Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? He went to the garden, and what did he pray? Anybody remember what he prayed? He said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. He prayed, and now this was his human part of him. He did not want to go on the cross. And I don't blame him. He did not want to go on the cross and suffer one of the coolest deaths he could ever have. Okay. Getting stabbed, getting nails pierced in your hands, and whipped, and a spear in your side, and crown of thorns. Does that sound appealing to anybody? No, and it did not sound appealing to God either. He said, if it be at all possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thy will be done. I think that's a perfect example of how our attitude should be. Okay? A lot of times when we pray, we demand that God fixes us. Okay? But Jesus' prayer said, not my will, but thine. If what I'm worried about is going to happen in the future, and what I'm so scared about is actually going to happen, I pray that I would just accept it. You know, no matter what happens, if this is your will, I pray that you give me the strength to get through this trial and worry. Okay? And Jesus, I think, had one of the biggest... He literally became sin for us. I was thinking about that this morning. He was worried because, first off, he was going to become sin, and he was going to be disconnected from his father. His father was literally going to turn his back on him. And I was thinking, I was like, nothing I ever faced in my life is going to be that hard. What Jesus did. But he still prayed and it happened, so my point is that we can't let our bad situation make you, don't let your bad situation make you worried that God has left or doesn't care about where you are. See, God has a plan for all of us. We all know that. Okay, we just need to trust Him and let Him do that plan. Okay, and if we don't give it over to Him, then we're putting more stress, more worry on our life, making it harder. We need to stop worrying about it. Matthew 6:34 is the last verse. Matthew 6:34. Whenever I read it, I was a little confused. The wording was confusing to me. It says, take therefore no thought of the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And I was reading that, and I was like, what is that talking about? You know, it kind of is worded funny, and I think they talked funny back then, but that's just me. Okay, that's saying, tomorrow is going to have its own set of problems. Okay, we have problems today that we need to deal with. Tomorrow it says at the last part, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That's saying tomorrow's going to have its own set of evil. Don't worry about it. Okay? And whenever I read that, I was like, wow, we just need to worry about today. If we take our life one day at a time, I think that would lower the stress in our life quite a bit. Just day by day. Now, I also want to say, planning is not bad either. If you plan for the tomorrow, is that bad? No, planning is not bad. But whenever you worry about it and let it consume you and take control of your life, that's whenever it gets bad. But I wrote this down. I said, don't worry about tomorrow. Each day holds its own problem. Planning for tomorrow is time well spent. Worrying about tomorrow is time wasted. But,
did I want to read that?
I guess I can read that. This is from my study Bible. It says, planning for tomorrow is time well spent. Sometimes it's difficult to tell the difference between careful planning and thinking ahead about goals, steps, and scheduling to help. Done well, there we go. Planning can help alleviate worry. The worrier, by contrast, is consumed by fear and finds it difficult to trust God. The worrier lets his plans interfere with his relationship with God. Don't let worry about tomorrow affect your relationship with God today. And that's pretty much my main point, is if we're worrying, not trusting God, do what he said you did. Okay? Well, that's all I have for you this morning. I'll ask you to stand to your feet if you will.